This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have with us again today Cynthia Rutherford, who's been sharing with us her story of her amazing journey, really, in encountering God's love and moving from addiction to sobriety and moving from darkness to light and really entering into and taking the courageous steps of following the promptings of the Holy Spirit to be able to open her own heart and mind to look inside herself, to experience who she is in the midst of brokenness and pain and shame, being able to know God's love and what a precious daughter of God that she is. And we're just in the midst of talking about human struggle. And I know many of us who are listening, many of you who are listening, you have friends and family members who are battling addictions or various struggles and difficulties that produce a lot of discouragement, a lot of despair, maybe even shame and difficulty of various kinds. And the Lord wants each one of us to know that we belong to Him, that He loves us unconditionally. And He comes to us, and that what we need in the depths of our heart is we need to know that He knows us and that He loves us and that He has the power to bring us from darkness to light. He has the power to bring us all the way home, and that we can trust Him and we don't need to be ashamed of Him in His presence. And so yesterday at the end of the program, Cynthia was sharing how this transition began to happen with her. We ended the program with Cynthia talking about, at the recommendation of some friends she met at an AA meeting, to get down on her knees and to begin to pray and begin to cry out to God. That's really where we left the show yesterday. And welcome back, Cynthia.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, maybe you could pick that moment up again. Just describe that moment. You're coming from an AA meeting and friends saying, that's what you need to do. You need to go. You're just beginning your sobriety. And there you are praying. Describe for our friends again just that whole encounter that night for you.
When I left the first AA meeting where I actually intended to attempt to get and stay sober, it was recommended to me that I come back tomorrow, that I go to a meeting every single day. And in the meantime, what I needed to do was get down on my knees and pray and ask my higher power for assistance with staying sober. And I got home and knelt down at the foot of my bed to pray, and I felt very uncomfortable. And I told God that, and that I didn't like it. I don't like this feeling, but if there really is a God, I want to know, and I want to know who You are. It was my very first prayer, and it turned out to be very fruitful because He answered that prayer in some quite amazing ways.
So how did He answer it?
You know, I continued to go to meetings, and I heard all this funny language about God's will and the grace of God, and they used these phrases that I had no clue what this was. It was not concrete. And people would just say, keep coming back, keep coming back. You'll understand, keep coming back. So I did. I kept coming back. And strangely enough, I was able to sort of give up my own will and follow what a sponsor that I found in AA would ask me to do. And just simple things that she would ask me to do, to call other women and talk to them, or to go out to coffee with someone, to reach out to these other people who are trying to stay sober. And it got me involved in a different sort of subculture. I began to start to feel a part of this, and I liked it. I met a lot of different people, people that I wouldn't have normally associated with, and we were all sort of like a family in this together, in our struggle and our brokenness in this way.
You know, one time you described earlier in the week about being a part of a subculture and a community and the whole drug community you were a part of, but also the work friends and colleagues at work were also using, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. You know, that whole world. What was that like leaving it? Was it just you were so dialed in because you saw something you were going to go for? It wasn't any big deal? Or was it like, wow, this is difficult to get out of what I was in relationally? And how did you handle all that? Was that,
you know, surprisingly, it for me, it wasn't as difficult as I've seen it be for a lot of people. I can only attribute that again to the grace of God and to the fact that I saw something that I wanted. And I knew that I wanted my life to be different at this point. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see anything. I didn't really see the draw of the way that I had been living. My eyes had been open to it, and it really wasn't that hard for me. And I see that as a great blessing, having been sober for over a decade now. I see all the time that people struggle to stay, you know, in the herd, as they say. It's just so easy for them to fall back into their old crowd and their old ways.
And the Lord began to give you strength, you know, just the story you told about the Covenant Rainbow story. And friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs the last few days, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Cynthia shared some really a beautiful story of how the Lord encouraged her at a time of tremendous difficulty and sort of the light of the kingdom beginning to break into her heart. So the Lord, as you've been sharing, I just sense the Lord, you know, saying he was giving you what you needed, kind of step by step, to have the courage to step out, because you were stepping away from security, from a world you created, from what you saw as being secure. And the real challenge was stepping into being honest about, I'm broken, I'm sick, I've got problems. You know,
yes,
I mean, to
that's
be able
what
to
it
admit
was.
That is that's the frightening thing. It's
yes.
not so much even leaving people, isn't it? That's the secure world where I don't have to face what I'm facing now. I'm stepping into, wow, I'm a screwed up human being, and having to admit that.
Yeah. You know? And that's, yeah. I think that just admitting that, which by the way, is one of the major steps, which is the first step yeah. of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, admitting your brokenness and the rest of it, God did for me. I think, you know, I asked God to help me and to show himself. And he really did. He really did. When I look back on it, I see that he was changing me already. All it took was some very tiny steps for me. And he carried me the rest of the way. There was a very intense experience I had maybe 3 months into my sobriety. I just started to feel like a whiny baby, like I still get sometimes. And things just are not going my way. And I couldn't figure out how to deal with these feelings except for by using. That was the only, I mean, I was racking my brain trying to think about, intellectually, I was trying to figure out, as I still often do, what I needed to do. And it didn't occur to me to just stop and pray. My Coke dealer showed up at work. He had moved to Florida, and he appeared magically at work that day. And I said, oh, perfect. After work, I'll meet you at the bar across the street. And I told my coworkers, yeah, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm done. I'm out. I'm going out tonight.
The sobriety thing is enough. Yeah, it's time for me. Plus, I deserve it. I've been at this so long for 3 months. I deserve
yeah.
a little bit of break and
yeah,
a little
I'm
bit
gonna,
of self-medication. Be good for me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a little fun and and deal with this problem that I'm having. So I went home and got ready. They're still feeling this severe discomfort inside of me, this discontent. It was just a storm, a raging storm of discontent and not knowing what to do with it except for to use. And went back downtown. And as I was crossing the street to the bar, I said this really lame prayer without really thinking. I said, God help me. What am I doing? I went downstairs to the bar. And as soon as I hopped up into that bar stool, I had sort of a blackout moment. A good blackout moment,
yeah.
where all I experienced was this hot, liquid comfort inside of my body, running down from my head to my toes, totally cleansing and consoling me. And when I sort of came to, the bartender was standing there saying, "Hi, Cindy, what can I get you?" And I said, "I'll just have a cup of coffee." And I turned to my drug dealer and said, "So how have you been? How is Florida?" And inside, my heart is about to jump out of my chest. And I am thinking to myself, how long was I out and what just happened to me?
Hmm.
I was full of joy.
How about that?
And none of the things that were making me feel so uncomfortable were... I couldn't even remember what they were. I was just ecstatic. And I knew what it was. I didn't understand that it was the Holy Spirit
yeah.
at the time, but I knew that it was God and that I had just been saved from a very bad mistake. And it was the prayer that I said. I said, help me. And he did.
How about that? Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God.
What a beautiful story. So present to you, just that raging storm God turned into a calm.
Right at the last moment.
Yes, you know, about that.
He scooped me up, right?
Yeah.
Right as soon as I sat down at the bar.
So how did the conversation go? Was it a short one and you ended up leaving, or what happened?
I told him that I had been sober for several months, and he didn't try to tempt me into relapse. He congratulated me, and we ended up having dinner together, sitting at the bar having dinner, and I gave him a ride back to his hotel, and I haven't seen him since.
How about that?
Yeah.
Sweet to God, that's how close the Lord is. He was really... The hound of heaven was pursuing you.
He really was. And that's why when I tell people these things, I say, I really realize now that God, he was wooing me. Mm-hmm. He was letting me know who he was, just like I had asked in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he was letting me know that he loved me. And he was giving me these ultra personal, intimate experiences with him that I had no idea were possible. And if anyone had ever told me about these things, I would think they were crazy.
Yeah.
But there was no denying them. And as many of you know, if these things have happened to you, there's no denying it when it happens to you. You know that it's God.
And it's important to see, you were describing just that day, this raging storm going on inside you. I'm not sure that's the exact terminology, but something like that. And I simply can't handle this anymore. I've got to do something about this. So I'm going to do something concrete, practical. I'm going to go get high. That's what I'm going to do. Instead of saying, what's the alternative? The alternative is I'm going to surrender. And I'm just going to surrender. To who? Who are you going to surrender to? I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. And you prayed a simple prayer. A simple, simple little prayer, really, of kind of cry in desperation, and God heard you. And it just, there's such an important truth there to say that he really is this close to us, and he does hear us, and he's not asking us to perfect ourselves by our own power. He's saying, just give yourself to me. Let go.
He just wants us to ask for him.
Yeah.
And that's what I started to realize.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
I went home, and I called my sponsor, and recounted the tale to her of what had happened that day. And she freaked out a little bit. She said, you know, why didn't you call me? You're supposed to call me when you start feeling this way. And I don't think I said this to her, but I thought to myself, what could you have done that God couldn't? You know, God saved me.
Yeah.
And not that my sponsor wasn't very useful and very loved, but I knew it was God. It was my first real experience.
Yeah. No, that's a great, great story. And friends, we're just at the end of the program here. And I just want to encourage all of us, no matter where we are in life, to remember this fundamental truth that the Lord calls us to cry out to him, to rely on him, to lean into him. That's what faith is. Faith is not just understanding and believing a set of truths about God, but it's living in a personal, vital relationship with God. God the Father in Christ Jesus. And Jesus wants to help us come to understand our own identity, our own destiny in God, and that we're made for him. And it's through Jesus alone that we can come to discover the dignity and the freedom that we've been called to as sons and daughters of God. I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. Cynthia will be with us. Cynthia, thanks for being here. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.